Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Pei Beis, and we're holding it very, very top of the Amid, where the Gemara begins, V'haki Osir Reb Oven Om Reb Yoichanan. As we recall yesterday, we learned at some length about the 10 Tanoim enactments that Yeshua Ben Nun enacted and legislated at the time of the original Kibbush V'chilik of Eretz Yisrael. All of the purpose of each one of those enactments, as we learned yesterday, was to help the Klal Yisrael to start a new
harmonious
civilized society where everybody can get together well, but have ach v'shulam v'reis, and to reduce any potential of machloikis.
Do we know if it was successful or not?
That you have to ask the historians. We just know what the tentakonis were. Now the Gemara asks, this was a brisa that we brought at the bottom of Peyomet Beis. Remember, we started yesterday, Tonu Rabbonon Asar Tonayim, means it was a brisa. And now the Gemara asks the Kashav, Oki Osa, top of Pei Beis Amar Aleph, Oki Osa Reb Avin, Omer Reb Yoichanan, Echad Ilah HaNuita L'Toy Sodech HaBeira, V'Echad Ilah HaSomach L'Meitzer, Maybe the koirei shalmanas kain hinchel Yeshua liYisrael es haoret. We'll focus on the specific takana momentarily, but the kasha of the Gemara is simple, and that is a brayse says that there were 10. Rabbi Yochanan says that there was another one, an 11th. Is Rabbi Yochanan arguing with the brayse? Shouldn't this takana of Yeshua ben Nun be of Yeshua ben Nun? Shouldn't this have also been enumerated in the brayse of yesterday? Since it wasn't, it sounds like from that brayse that it was an exclusive asara tanoim. There were 10 enactments, and here we're saying b'shem Rabbi Yochanan an 11th. How come it wasn't included in the brayse? That's the Gemara's kasha. But now what the question is: what was this enactment that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about? As you know, every year the farmers had to go and bring bikurim from the Shivas Haminim. And when they would come into the Beis Hamikdash and they would bring the Shivas Haminim, they had to be kore. They had to go and say a short tefillah, which is found in Parshas Kisavai. And among the things that they have to go and say is that I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Adom Asher Nasata Li Hashem. These are the payers that I produced from the payer, from the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu you gave to me. Pasuk similarly says, Reishis Bikuri Ad Moscha Tovi Beis Hashem Alekecha. The first fruits of your land each year, you have to bring Beis Hashem Alekecha to the Beis Hamikdash. So what's the issue? The issue over here is we're talking about that there were Ilonois that produced the fruit that were very, very close to the neighbor's property. In one case, you had Ilah HaNoita L'Toichsa D'Chaberoi, which means the Nof. Nof means the Peirois and the branches. They were extending over the Meitzar, over the border between one property and the other. The second case that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, Echad Ilah HaSamach L'Meitzar, even if the branches didn't go over to the other side, but it was still close to the border. How close is close? Agmar doesn't go into all the fine details, but Mi'at Hashem, when we get to Bava Basra, soon in Mi'at Hashem, we will learn that one is not supposed to plant a tree within 16 amos of somebody else's property. And the reason is because it takes, yinika takes away the nourishment, the minerals, the soil from the other property. Presumably this was planted even before this homeowner came. In other words, this was initially owned by the Canaanites or the Amorites or whoever it was, and now the tree was already there. So now the Yid that owns this tree and owns this property says, Rabbi Yochanan, says Yeshua ben Nun, no problem. Even though it is deriving and taking some of the nourishment away from the next door neighbor, nevertheless, there's still enough of a basis to be able to go and thank Hashem for the property Adom Shenasat Ali that you gave to me. Aha. Why? Because otherwise each time you'd have to measure and say, oh, you took from me, I took from you, you know, to keep things as harmonious as possible.
What exactly is the 11th decree that Rabbi Yochanan is?
Oh, so let's go over it again. So Zok Timur said, if I have a tree where the nof, that means the branches, are extending over the border into the sada of my chaver, even though the entire trunk and roots are on my property.
Mm-hmm.
As well as any tree which is close within 16 amos of the meter of the border,
mm-hmm.
even though the foliage and the branches are all on my property. Because in both cases, the trees are receiving some nourishment from my next door neighbor, I might have thought that I don't bring bikurim from that tree. Or even if I do bring bikurim, I should not be kore, because part of the kriya of the tefillah that I say is, I thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, for these fruits which grew on the adama shenasata li, and some of the nourishment of the tree came from my next door neighbor, so perhaps I wouldn't have the din of bringing bikurim, or I bring bikurim without making, saying this tefillah. No, Yeshua ben Nun was mesaken that everybody could, should, and would bring the bikurim and make the statement, Shamanaskein, Himchu Yeshua v'Yisrael es Haaretz, that people shouldn't be makbin on that nourishment from one land to the other. So Ibazoi, Freit Yimura, the price says 10, Rabbi Yochanan says an 11th. How come it wasn't Oskerechem, how come it was not enumerated in the place? Hell, says Imam Matana, Asara Tanoim, Shehisi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, says the Gemara, we made a bit of a faux pas. What does that mean? We thought that this was a brisa. In fact, it was not a brisa. This was a statement that was made to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was an Amoira. And Rabbi Yochanan is also an Amoira. So, two Amoiraim are entitled to disagree. How do I know that this is not a price? So let's look at the top Rashi and the second Rashi. V'hakiyasa. V'masnisa ha'vitziyufta. The top Rashi is a kasha. Diktoni asara v'suloi. Rabbi Yochanan Amoira. Rabbi Yochanan is after all only an Amoira. And that being the case, the kasha li'masnisa. He's arguing with a price that says it were 10, and he says that there was an 11th. Says the Gemara, no, the price was not a price. It's Rabbi Shuben Levi Amrinu. He's the one that said all the 10. Not the first time that Amoraim argue with one another. Habayi v'Rava almost every day, and Rav and Shmuel and all the other Amoraim. So in fact, it's a machlokes. Now, if you're wondering to yourself, how could the Gemara make such a mistake and say Rabbi Shimon Levi and call it a brisa tana rabbana? It's very noteworthy that if you go to the very final Mishnah in Shas, which is the Mishnah at the end of Masechtas Uktzin, it says in the Mishnah, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Os the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Osif Chol Tzadik V'Tzadik, V'Hanchel Chol Tzadik V'Tzadik, Shai Elamis, Brother Shai, 310 Elamis. So Rabbi Shimon ben Levi is incorporated in the final Mishnah of Shas. But the Mefarshim already explain, Ofenart, that this must have been, Ofenart means on that place, that this must have been a later addition, because Rabbi Shimon Levi wasn't a Tana. So it wouldn't be possible for Rabbeinu HaKadosh Rebbe to go and quote a Tana in a Mishnah if he only lived a generation later. Anyway, so bottom line is, Rabbi Shimon Levi apparently was also in that twilight area. In other words, he certainly wasn't five generations after the Mishnah. Apparently he was shortly after the Tanoim, and that's why he had a status of a shtick of a Tana. But bottom line, he was an Amoraim. About Rav, you find in the Shas that says Rav Tanu Palik. That you find. You don't find about Rishu ben Levi. But nevertheless, apparently he was not much after the initial period of the Tanoim. Otherwise, they wouldn't have thrown him in the last Mishnah in Shas. Fine. Zokti Mara. So man tan asar Tanoim Shisna. Yeshua Rishu ben Levi. Now the Gemara tells us Rav Gavia mi bei Kosel Masel behedya. In fact, Rav Gavia from Kosel, when he taught these 10, he said the Feirish. The Rav Tanchum, Rav Raias, Avri Mishum Zaken Echad, Umanu Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Asar Tanoim, Hisna Yehoshua. You recall we had this Rav Tanchum and Rav Raias yesterday. If you go back just for a short moment to pay Aleph Omer Aleph, that 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Omer, 5-6 lines from the bottom, you see there's the two dots there, and we were explaining then one of the ten tanoim, the koitman natiya b'cholmok and chutz migrup yoshel zayis. You're allowed to take these small little branches and shoots on somebody else's property. Make sure that you have a distance from the ground, at least of the two fists. Oh, pirshim tanchem v'rabrais v'shem zaken echad. What's the shear? by Isaiah Street, it's Kabeya, by Ikonim, by Kfanim, and Kakul Amala, etc. Also, we already had Rav Tanchum and Rav Raya's Bishum Zekon Echad. So what our Gemara is telling us is that Rav Gavia Mibeg Sil, when we started the whole Gemara, don't start off Tanur Rabbanan like we started off on Pei Amid Beis, Asar Tanan. But start off Daka that Rav Shub and Levi said, and now Rav Tanchum and Rav Raya's Bishum Zekon Echad. Who's that Zekon Echad? Says our Gemara, that's Zekon Echad, that's Rav Shub and Levi. Rav Shub and Levi is the one that said the entire list of the ten, and so this is confirming what we had yesterday. So if you're wondering yesterday who's that Zaken Echad, that's Rav Shub and Levi that the Gemara discloses today. Fine. So bottom line is, according to Rav Shub and Levi, we had 10 Tanoim, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, one more, we have 11.
So how does he want to change the order instead of saying Tanur Rabbanan?
Don't start Tanur Rabbanan, start off Omer Bishu ben Levi, Asar Tanan is the Yeshua.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Now, since we spoke about the 10 Tanoim of Yeshua ben Nun, let's talk about now the 10 Takanois of Ezra. When Ezra came up to Eretz Yisrael with the Golas Yidden from Babel, he also instituted 10 particular enactments. Asar Takanan Tikin Ezra Shekoyrin, number one, Shekoyrin and Mincha B'Shabbos. That when it comes Shabbos Kodesh, instead of laying only in the morning, one should also lay in the afternoon by Mincha. You're wondering why? The Gemara is going to explain each one of the Takanas shortly after we finish the list of the ten. The Koyrin Mishani B'Chamishi, we also lay on Mondays and Thursdays. The Donim Mishani B'Chamishi, and the Kodinim should be open on Mondays and Thursdays to be able to go and litigate any litigation. And one should go and do laundry on Thursdays. And one should go and eat garlic on Friday night. When women are going to go and bake, they should go and bake early in the morning. That a woman should go and wear special undergarments, which we'll talk about a little bit further down in the yard. When a woman goes to Toivu, she should make sure to go and comb out her hair with a good strong comb. And the peddlers should be able to go from town to town to town selling their wares. The Tikkun Tefillah LeBalikarian, anybody who's a Balkari should go and Toivu LeMikvah before he goes to Daven or before he goes to learn Torah. We went through the list quickly, and the Gemara is going to explain each one separately. Number one, Shiukurim Mincha B'Shabbos. Why? Shem Yoishvei Kuranis. Now, we normally think of Yoishvei Kuranis as people that are, in Yiddish they say, Leidegeyers. You know, people that don't do anything, lazy unemployed, people that sit there in the corners on Broadway, Amsterdam Avenue.
Idle,
exactly.
At Dunkin' Donuts.
Whatever. Years ago, you used to see on Amsterdam Avenue, I don't think you still see it today, people would sit there throughout the day playing chess or playing...
Dominoes.
Yeah,
dominoes.
That was a big... Yeah, exactly. Whatever. Anyway, it had many people followed because it had a domino effect.
Mm.
All right. Now, what means Yoshua Kronos in this situation? No, we're not talking about people that are sitting idle. But look at Rashi right in the middle. We're talking about businessmen, people that are busy Sunday through Friday. Do you know people like that? Yeah. They don't even come to shul on Mondays and Thursdays. Oh, I have an early morning and I can't. And it's
they don't come to shul, period?
On Shabbos they come. So therefore, talking about Yinayu Kriya Yisera, that's why they made on Shabbos, it should be a second Kriya. In other words, if you're going to go announce on Shabbos afternoon, there's going to be a special shir for all the Balabatim that don't learn throughout the week. Oh, how many people are going to come to the shir? Many people are going to... Good. But if they have to come for Mincha on Shabbos, so they'll have at least a second opportunity to hear Divrei Torah, at least for Leini. And remember the good old days, when we had the Leini, you also had the Targum. So at least they learned a little bit. Oh, so I know what the parsha is about, etc. So this was a way to give them another opportunity to learn Torah. On to the next enactment. V'shinu koyrin v'sheni b'chamishi. Every Monday and Thursday, when you go and lay, like we do. Ezra Tikkun, you're telling me that Ezra was Masakin that as part of 10th Takanas? But Mikora Abin Miskina, this is an altar Takana. The Sani, we learned in the Brisa.
Yeah. I thought Moses is the one.
Let's see.
Uh-huh.
Who's this altar Takana? Staying the Brisa. That they walked for 3 days in the desert. Sorry?
This was this week's Parsha.
Good. So they walked 3 days in the midbar, and they didn't find any water. Dorshu Rishumais Amru. The word Rishumais, as Rashi, means Mikrois. That means those that darshan psukim in the Torah. So we're now talking about drashas. In other words, Parshipshat is, you know, there was no 9-11s at any of the gas stations, and therefore they weren't able to go and buy any potable spring water.
7-11?
I'm sorry, 7-11.
Yeah.
9-11 is the number.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, my apologies. Anyway, so bottom line is, I knew I was going to get into trouble. And Barry's not even here.
To her it's human, to forgive is divine.
Exactly. Go ahead. Thank you, son. More than human. Hopefully subhuman too sometimes. Anyway, the Eretz Yisrael Yom HaMidbar what's in mind, they didn't go and find water. The Dorshin Rishumi Sama, the Dorshin Mikroi, says Rashi, said, ain't my military. We're talking about over here, Ma'ayim, we mean Torah, Shenema. Whoever is thirsty should thirst and go and get water. What type of water? We're talking about the water of Torah.
Not for hydration purposes.
Yeah, well, it's for hydration, but on a rachmias level.
Spiritual.
Anyway, nilu. As a result of going 3 days straight without learning Torah, many of them became very tired and weary, worn out. On the Nevi'im Shemineh, the Nevi'im, they said, "V'tiklul lehem shi'ukoyin b'Shabbos u'mafsikin v'yachad b'Shabbos v'koyin b'sheni u'mafsikin shlishirzi v'koyin b'chamishi u'mafsikin erev Shabbos k'dei shliyolinu gimel yom bloy Torah." You shouldn't have 3 days straight without the holy Torah. So this is already an old takana from the times of the Nevi'im, much before the times of Ezra. Everyone may call it Toknu, Chad Gabra, plus a psukim. The original takana was all the laning would be on Mondays and Thursdays would be one person called up and he would lay in 3 psukim. Right? Just koyin, that's it. No more. Inami, or perhaps plus a Gabri, plus a psukim. That they had 3 kruvim, 3 aliyas, and each one either laid 1 pasik for 3 altogether, or each one laid 3 psukim, say 9 altogether. Can they get Hanulim Israelim? Also, who? When Ezra came, he was Masakatikin plus a Garbi Vasara Psukim. That you always have to lay 10 Psukim, even though for 3 people it would be enough to have 9. 3, 3, and 3. No, you should always have 10. Why? Can I get a Sarah Batlonin? Who are the Sarah Batlonin? We don't mean Batlonin people that sit idly on their hands, but rather look at Rashi. Asur Batlonin, Bnei Adam Ksheirim. Ksheirim means a chosh of a person. Betalin Mimalachdon. They don't go to work. They should be available any time, whenever you need a tzibur to go and do things. For instance, they would be the first ones every day in shul. Whenever you needed a minion, you should always have 10. And of course, they have to have panasa, so the tzibur goes and supports them. So they're oisik and all different types of tzarchi tzibur. Presumably, if chas v'sholem, you hear that nebuch someone passed away, these 10 are immediately the chevra kedisha. If they heard that someone is nebuch sick, they probably organize bikkur cholim for them. If they heard that chas v'sholem somebody is very poor, they'll go and make sure that people are going big chalas and give them food, whatever. They're oisim b'tzarchi tzibur, and these are the sort of batlanim. So to give a chashivas to them, you shouldn't say, he's a batlan.
Right, it's in the word, you hear it, it's like, so I'm saying, the word doesn't fit the
description.
Yeah.
So that could be the reason why Ezra felt it was necessary to add that there should be 10 psukim. Why 10 psukim until now? 10 psukim connect those 10 batlanim. I thought they're batlanim. Oh, these are noshim chashuvim ma'oid. You have no idea what mitzvahs and masim tovim they do on a daily basis. By the way, there are shuls even today, even here on the west side, that make sure to have a minyan for Shachas and Mincha Maariv. They call them, take for instance, in Kozhnitz, that's one of our branches, they have every single morning a minyan. 6 Yungalite come from Washington Heights, from the YU Koil, and they have 6 people. So all you need is 4 west siders, and you're sure you're guaranteed a minyan. So they have a minyan every morning without difficulty.
Where is it now?
I'll tell you in a moment. As well as Mincha Maariv, they have 6 Yungalite coming in from Buru Park, Chasidim, along Beit and Peis, and they are the ones that are the core of the minyan, and you have at least 4 west siders, and again, you have a minyan.
So Mincha Maariv, therefore?
Every day they're Mincha Maariv, again, 6 in the morning from YU, 6 in the afternoon from Buru Park, from Chassidim.
And at Shabbosim, they rely strictly on the Upper West Side.
I'm assuming so, and I assume that they have enough for Shabbos. As we said before, Shabbos, people always come to shul, and during the week, you know, people get a little...
Where is Kuznets?
Oh, it's on Broadway between 83rd and 84th Street. Anyway, getting back to
on the west side of the street, and that's
yeah, that's enough. He knows more than too much information. Okay. Anyway, so that is the story with the Kriya on Monday and Thursday. Now, there's an obvious question: Vos Epis Monday and Thursday. I understand we have to have with every 3 days there has to be one lady. Right? That's what it said because of Shlielinu Gimel Yom Leitoyda, because of the story by Moshe Rabbeinu that it says in the Pasuk, Vayelchu Shloishes Yom Bamid V'Limotzimoyim. So within 3 days you always have to have a lady. Okay, so theoretically you could have lain on Shabbos, and the next one should be on Tuesday, and the next one should be on Wednesday, on Friday, or Thursday. What's happens Monday and Thursday? And that leads us to the next question. How can we have the lengthy Tachnun on Mondays and Thursdays? What's happens? So there's choices about it. It's a long choices. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Don't be noises. But look at the first full choices, about 10, 15 lines from the top. What's happens Monday and Thursday? Mishum the Omer Memedrish says the Medrish, Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom Olav HaChamishi V'Kabal Luchos V'Achroinos. When he got to Luchos HaKroinis, he went up on Thursday. Vayeir, and he came down B'Sheni on Monday. The Nisratzele HaMokim. Kadosh Baruch Hu obviously listened to Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs, and because of that, that's why we got to Luchos HaShniyos. Therefore, these days are Yemei Ratzon. L'fisho Yeis Ratzon, Bo'isa Aliyah V'Yarida. Obviously, it was an Eis Ratzon because Kadosh Baruch Hu listened and he gave him the second Luchos and he down to Klal Yisrael. That's the reason for the Bahab, those that fast Bahab after Sukkot and after Pesach. Why Dafka Mondays and Thursdays? Because of those of Yemei Ratzin. Bav Bisha Ol Vashkam. And then Rashi makes from Tosin makes from here till the end. Agan Sechesmin, which was Shibasa Betamuz, and when he came up and when he came down at night and morning. Agan Langa Tosin. But that's also the mukkah for our lengthy Tachnun, because the Tachnun, for all those that think about it for even 1 second, are additional tefillahs, supplications, bakoshes to the Rabbeinu Shlom to have rachmim on Klal Yisrael. So those Yemei Ratzon. So those people that try to get out of it through Tachnun, through some sort of reason, if it's halachically strong reason, fine. Shulchan Aruch has brought that. For instance, this Thursday is Chamish Usa B'Shvat. We're going to leave out Tachnun because it says it Beferish in Shulchan Aruch. But otherwise, it's an Indian to go and say Tachnun.
And not fasting also, right?
We know the fast this Thursday as well. Correct. 100%. Shavim is suspended until next week.
You have Shulman Tzavi, you got two extras, so you can...
That's true. And this year, we're going to have Utsu V'Yakob B'Kudei, assuming that we're able to continue that long.
Why? Yakob B'Kudei, that's also Shavuot?
And no, because in a regular year, when it's not an Ibri year, it's Shavuot, and if Monday and Thursday, not Monday and Thursday, if the two Thursdays turn out to be Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, and Chamish B'Shvat, and whenever we omit fasting on one Thursday, because Rosh Chodesh Shabbat, it's automatic that 2 weeks later we're going to omit it because Chamish Usa B'Shvat, because that's always right. 14 days later. That's always... Yeah. That's in a regular year. And then we add on the Truma Tetzaveh. So it's called Shavvim Tat. In an Ibi year, anyway, you're supposed to go and fast Shavvim Tat. So therefore, you have to make up those two by adding yet another 2 weeks. But not Kisisa, only the Yakub Kuvit. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, says the Gemara Vaitzim. The Donin, now that we just learned about the laning on Mondays and Thursdays, the Donin Mishem Chamishi, also the Bezin gets together on those days, Shkichli, also the Mikra, Besifra. Meaning, we have to remember historically what things looked like in the times of Ezra, that there were a lot of people that lived in small little towns and little villages, and perhaps throughout the week they didn't even have a minyan. We have that in the beginning of Masechtas Megillah, that people would come in from the little shteytlach to the larger cities on Purim to be able to hear the Megillah because they didn't have a minyan or balikriya in their local communities. So therefore, you perhaps had people that didn't come to shul throughout the week because they lived far away, out in a little town, they didn't have a minyan. Oh, but if they're coming anyway to shul Mondays and Thursdays to go and listen to the Kriyas HaTorah because it's Yimei Ratzon and because of the Takana of Ezra, nope, Mamailas, and then after davening is over, and after the daf is over, they'll be able to go into the Bezdin and litigate anything that needs to be litigated. Like Vishima Chabz and Mechamisha B'Shabbos, that they did the kibbutz begodim, means the laundry, on Thursday. Why? Mishum Kovet Shabbos, because of Kovet Shabbos. So you're wondering, so why did they do that on Thursday rather than on Friday? Say the Mefarshim, because Friday is a busy day. Women are cooking and baking and setting up the table and preparing the house for Shabbos, and they may not get to doing the laundry on that same day, and we want there to be laundry, so therefore it should be on Thursday, L'kumen Shabbos, that people, when they come Shabbos, they should have fresh garments that have been freshly laundered. Mishum oichlin shum be'erev Shabbos, and that people should go and eat garlic on Friday night. Mishum oina. Oina means that that's the time for tashmish between a husband and wife. Tachzib says in the pasuk, Shapiria yitim be'itai. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the peiros in its right time. What does that mean? So they are now combined. V'yom Rav Yudah v'yisei Merav Nach v'yisei Merav Kahana v'yisei Merav Yoichanan Zeh HaMisham Shemitas Me'erev Shabbos Erev Shabbos, that is an Inyan of Tashma Shemitah on Friday night, and that's called the Be'itoi. Now what does it have to do with garlic? Tanur Bar, we learned in the price. Hamisha Dvarim Nemu B'shut. There are five things said about garlic. Masbia, number one, it satiates. Mashchen, Rashi said mashchen means it warms up the body. Matzil panim, it causes a person to break out in a smile so that he has a nice, beautiful countenance. It shines, the face shines. Marbe hazera, and it's good for zera. That's the main reason that the Gemara is bringing this. Marbe hazera means it increases the potency as well as presumably the volume of zera. So that hopefully the husband will impregnate his wife and they'll have children. It's also very good against any types of worms or types of other bugs.
Parasites,
that's what I was looking for. Parasites inside the intestinal glands or intestinal body, whatever it is.
Cavity,
good, very good. When I think of cavity, you just think about the dentist. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I have to make an appointment.
Okay. Hashem also has that ability that it brings in love and it pushes away
sin. Aphrodisiac?
Chweisish. Anyway, but bottom line is, that's the reason why one has this takana of Ezra to eat shum on Erev Shabbos, Leil Shabbos, to go and help out in the Zera, and Machnes Ahava, all these wonderful things, and Shapiria Yitei Be'itai.
Doesn't speak about bad breath, though.
Does not, exactly.
I would think garlic.
That's the reason why they created after that scope and all the other...
Tic-tacs.
Exactly. A person, a lady, when she is baking, this is not just for Shabbos, Sunday morning, Tuesday morning, whenever she's baking, she should get up early. People that were poor would go from door to door asking for handouts, not only for money, but also for food. So, if she's only going to bake in the afternoon, and the oni comes 9 o'clock in the morning, so sorry, I have no bread left, it was all, well, I'm going to bake later on. I'm hungry now! So therefore they should bake every morning very, very early, so that by the time the aniyim come around after davening in the morning for breakfast, there's already fresh bread available to them. Shteisha chageres asinah mishum tzniusa. She should wear a sinah. Now Rashi explains what normally sinner is defined as an apron. However, here Rashi defines it differently. If you look at Rashi 10 lines from the top, sinner dugmas michnasayim ktanim, like small breeches, like men's underpants, you know, long underpants, things like that. Why should they go and do that? So Rashi doesn't explain, but just Rashi says, Bishim tzniyusa, the last three lines, v'srachik min aveda. That doesn't really give you much explanation. But the Mefarshim say that typically women are busy working either in the kitchen or throughout the home, and they're afraid to get their garments dirty. And particularly the garments are very long, going close to the floor, etc. So from time to time, if they're cooking or whatever, they may decide to go and hitch up their dress or hitch up their skirts a little bit so that things don't fall on it, doesn't, you know, there are no spills and it doesn't get dirty
on the floor.
Exactly. So as a result, their legs might become revealed, and so therefore exposed, I should say. And therefore that they have to have undergarments, mission to me is to make sure that there's a second level of protection of their modesty, so the chas v'sholem, there shouldn't be any problems. Right. Shteisha chifefes v'tevelis. Another one of the takana was that when women go to toivul, they should go and comb out their hair. Frey Timara, this is a takana d'oraisi, the choyz min ha-teira. The sign we have in the pasuk, v'rochetz p'sor v'mayim, sholei heidover choyzes bein b'sorei l'mayim. Es p'sorei, es a tofel p'sorei, u'maynihu seyar. What this pasuk is saying is that the water has to go to every part of a person's body, both by men, if men are toivling, and by ladies, if women are toivling. It's got to be kol b'sorei, there should not be a chatzitza, We all know what a chatzitz is, some sort of
obstruction.
Obstruction, great. It's good that you have such a beautiful English. Between his flesh, his skin, and the water, his hurt, etc. And as sorry, so tovul sorry, it doesn't only include the person's body, the skin. The s sorry, the tovul, that means also the here. So when it comes to the here, you have to be very, very careful that there not be a chatzitza, some sort of obstruction. So the reason why you have to be choyved is to make sure that the woman toiveled properly and efficiently and fully. So what is this takana of Ezra? Thank you very much. So if you more, I'll tell you. Last line. Amri. It would have been sufficient to go and just check out the here, you know. Go and feel all over, or have the mikvah lady feel all over to make sure that there are no obstructions and nothing there. What are you going to check for? Dilma mikter, to make sure that none of the hairs got entangled or roped.
Knotted,
that's the right term. Inami mois midi, or there shouldn't be maybe some sort of obstruction in terms of something mias, like a chvais, a piece of candy or a piece of whatever, something that, a glue type of substance, so that some of the hairs got
sticky
and entangled together. So what you have to do is you have to inspect mishum chatzitza, because you want to make sure there's no chatzitza. However, the asa Ezra, the asa iutiken chafifa, don't just do inspections to make sure that everything's in fact top notch vis-a-vis the hair. So we shouldn't be faced with a hairy situation. You should go and comb the hair from top to bottom to make sure that there are no entanglements, no knots, there's no schmutz. Get everything out and
I think colloquial Hebrew chafifa is to lather the hair. Lachfof et
tarosh.
Shampoo.
That, I love that pshat, but if you look at the top Rashi, chafifa is masrik, tomesarik, which masrik is a comb, laharchok ed milza, to be marchik, to go and remove even the slightest possibility that there is some sort of unknown, unseen obstruction. That's why you go and comb the hair. So the halacha is by comb. That the peddler should go from town to town unobstructed. Why? The peddlers were not just selling anything, they were selling cosmetics and selling perfumes and things of that nature. And of course we want it to be as much shalom bayis as possible, and therefore we want the peddlers to be able to go from door to door, from house to house, and be able to sell those wares for the women, so that when they're husbands would come home, or throughout the day, or at night, whatever, that they should
What's the actual takana?
The takana is that a local community should not say, sorry, put up big, big signs on the Shari Ho'ir, no peddlers allowed. They have to allow peddlers to go and sell cosmetics. They shouldn't say, well, it's unfair competition, or just the sight of these peddlers is undermines the sanity of this of the town. They don't look like the most distinguished people, whatever it is. And anybody and everybody who is selling cosmetics, allow them in, because this is a good thing to strengthen the bonds of shalom bayis.
Who pays for this, though?
The peddlers, the women that buy the cosmetics.
Okay, so their husbands may not be so...
Well, that's a separate thing.
Okay.
And that's any time. And if a woman goes into Saks Fifth Avenue or Macy's or in whatever store, maybe she buys too much or too little, whatever. The husband and the women have to work these things out. Hopefully they have a budget and they do what they're supposed to. And we come to the final one, the Tikkun Tefillah Balkerion, that a Balkerion has to go to the mikveh. Frank Timura. If he became a Baal Keri, he has to go to the mikvah. What's the shaykh? Everyone, the Raisahu, the Truma, the Kachim, Asahu, the Tikkun Tefillah, Divrei Torah. That what was the inyan of the Tikkun Tefillah? If a person is a Kohen, he wants to eat Truma. If a person is even a Yisrael, he wants to eat Kachim, he wants to eat Shlomim meat, he wants to go and eat Toida meat, anything that one can eat from the Kachim and Beis Mikdash. If you're Baal Keri, then you're not allowed to eat it, because you're going to be metame the food, etc. So therefore, that you have to go in Toivul, and you have to have Herif Shemesh. That's why it says in the first mission of Pesach's Brachas, why are we talking about that? Because it's talking about Kehana that became Tomei, that could not eat their Truma throughout the day. When can they eat the Truma after Tzeis HaKachovah? That's when you're supposed to go and lay in Krishma. When the Kehana come eat their Truma because they have to go to Mikvah, and now they can eat after Tzeis HaKachovah. Says the same thing over here. You want to eat Truma, you want to eat Kachim, you got to go to Mikvah. However, that's not a din legabi tefillah, legabi Torah. Ezra was masakin that before one learns or before one goes to davening in the morning, if a person is a malkeh, you should go to the mikveh. We all know halacha lemaisa that tefillas Ezra is not mandatory. However, it's brought among the mefarshim and among the poskim that nevertheless, in every generation, many people were makbid on tefillas Ezra, and even the Rambam writes in his in the Yad HaChazaka, in Paskas Halacha, it's not necessary to go to the mikveh. However, he himself writes in a letter, which is extant, that he himself was makbid to go to the mikveh, and he says it's not only for, you know, for people that are balikari, and even if they're not a balikari, but to add to the tahara prior to going and learning Torah or in davening. So that's why you have that minig. Even today, especially among the Hasidim, many of them go on a daily basis based on this Rambam and based, of course, on other, and our Gemara and Paskim and Mefarshim, that it's a greater inyan to go, especially for Balkari, but even not a Balkari, to have special Tahara for davening and for learning. So now that we've had the ten takonis, or the ten tanoim of Yehoshua ben Nun, the ten takonis of Ezra, and we're in the mood of talking about ten, we're going to talk about ten things regarding Yushalayim. I saw it for a member of Yushalayim. Number one, Eina Bais Cholut Ba, Ve'eina Mevi'a Egla Rufa, Ve'eina Nasis Ir Nidachas, Ve'eina Metam Menegoyim, etc. So all of these first ones, all are based on a very novel concept. Novel because we're not really familiar with it. We are under the impression that Yushalayim, like the entire Eretz Yisrael, was Nischalka Lishvatim, was split up among the Shvatim, and in fact there are Gemaras that say that Yerushalayim and even the Beis Hamikdash was partially in the Shevet of Yehuda, partially in the Shevet of Binyamin. However, there is another view which is expressed in Shas from time to time, that Yerushalayim loy nischalka l'shvatim. It was not subdivided for Shvatim, and it's, if you will, a universal city that belongs to all of the Yidden. And the Gemara says, Masechtes Chagiga, that when people come up for Oile Regolim to Yerushalayim, the three times a year for the three Regolim, that if you maintain a hotel or an inn, or you have a private apartment, you're not allowed to charge them for coming up and residing in your hotel or in your inn, because it belongs to them as much as it belongs to you. Although, yes, you built the inn, you built the hotel, you built your house, you live there, but don't think that this is your nechassim. Nechassim, all of these, the real estate in Yerushalayim belongs to all of Klai Yisrael. So based on this, a lot of halachas that normally apply to regular cities don't apply to Yerushalayim. So getting to the first one, Eina Bayis Cholut. What means Eina Bayis Cholut? So if you look at the second line of Rashi at the very top, Kedin Ein Habayis Cholut, but Kedin Bati Ari Choyma. A Bati Ari Choyma means that if you buy from another Jew in Eretz Yisrael a bayis which is in an Ir Choyma. Ir Choyma means, of course, a walled city. The halacha is that you have the right of redemption for 1 year, but after 1 year is over, if you did not redeem your house, in other words, you sold it to someone, within a year you left it, you could have redeemed it, you could have given money and got the money back, and you could have gotten the house back. If you didn't do it within 1 year, and it belongs latzmisus, la'koina uysar l'deroysav l'yeitzav l'yoyv, it belongs to him permanently. But that's other cities that have a choyma, but not Yerushalayim. So nochmo, ein abayis cholot, but cholot means that it stops and it's permanently now with the purchaser. Even after the year is over, he can be goel. And all the house in Yerushalayim becomes yovel year. It goes back to the original owners that had it previously. That's special because, as we'll see, the Gemara is going to say, we'll see that in another moment. It doesn't bring an Egla Rufa, meaning that if Chas V'Shalom we find Nebuchadnezzar between Yerushalayim and another town, and normally what you have to do is you have to go and measure from each town, from the mess to the other town, and to Yerushalayim to see which one is closer. No, no, no. Yerushalayim is not included in this category. They don't bring Egla Rufa. If unfortunately most of the Yidden in a particular town all sinned of the Aveira of Avodah Zarah, it does not become Yerushalayim any other city, there would be a din that would chas v'shalom kill him all the cheret, and everything in the city, all the possessions would be burnt. But that cannot be the case with Yerushalayim. Ve'inu metamim menegoyim. There's no din of tumas negoyim. In other words, normally you have negoyim babayis, kanega nearly babayis, yirakrak or yadamdom. You found all different types of spots on the walls of the house, where depending on circumstances, you may have to demolish the entire house. It doesn't apply to Yerushalayim. Okay, so all of that had to do with because Yerushalayim is not your normal chelik like all other cities and towns and villages in Eretz Yisrael. We're going to talk about another few lines. Let's just finish the 10 dvarim. Many of the others have to do with other halachas. If you have a house, make sure you have no protruding terraces or ledges or anything coming out. And the reason is because we're afraid that there might be on the ground or underneath the ground a kezayis min hames. This will be an oil alames, and people are going to be walking under these zizin gustrois, and what's going to happen is chas v'shalom, they're going to be walking in an oil hames, and they're going to become tamei, especially oil regalim, as we'll see. Ve'ein oisim bo ashpasois, don't make garbage dumps in Yerushalayim. Ein oisim bo kifshoines, don't go make furnaces to go and produce kalim, different types of vessels. Ve'ein oisim bo ginois apartesois, in Yerushalayim itself, don't make gardens and don't make orchards. Chutz me ginois v'radin, except for the ginois v'radin, she'hoyu mimois neviyim arishayim, because these predated, this comes back, this is already prehistoric. So they grandfathered those in and said, okay, those that are there already, you can leave. But don't make new kinois and pardesos. We'll see it again shortly why. Don't go and raise their chickens. And don't, if chas v'shalom somebody passes away in Yerushalayim, you try to make the levaya immediately. You don't allow it to wait till the next day. And even today, everyone in Yerushalayim, they're very, very makbid on this, unless extremely extraordinary circumstances, but otherwise, yes, that's why you have levaya sometimes 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night. They don't want to leave the mess overnight. But so we start, that's not good, but as I says. So we go back to the beginning of the text. Ein abayis cholipa. Tachsid, v'kom abayis asher l'be'ir, asheri choyma, la'tzmisef, akoyna oisa l'daraisef. That's by a regular house and a regular bati, ari choyma. However, this man the Yomar holds that Yerushalayim was not subdivided like all other towns and cities and villages, and therefore the normal rules that apply to residences in Bate or Yerushalayim do not apply to Yerushalayim. If I never had a person who was killed by Adama, so it says, Yerushalayim was not given as Yerusha to a particular shevet, a particular family. It belongs universally to whole Klal Yisrael. It doesn't become a nidach tachsiv orecha. If you have the Torah or Sholem, kisishma biachas orecha shem l'shev kecha noisim loch, noisim lecha l'shev v'shem leimor, yotzu anoshim liyal mikibecha, and they did avoy the Zorah, and then you have to go and kill them all if you charev. As a parenthetical, this is not meant as a political comment, it's meant as a religious comment. The people have attested to the fact that at that musical festival that took place on October 7th, that there were statues of Buddha there. And many consider statues of Buddha to be real Avodah Zarah. And unfortunately, Nebuch Lefi Chorev, or Nebuch the property was burned, etc., etc. Make your own determinations. Anyway, back to our Gemara. It's got to be one of your orim that people have left and they've gone done avoy zara. Yerushalayim doesn't apply because it's not one of orecha. You'll find negatzaras on the wall of your eretz achuza. Achuza, of course, means your nachla. Yerushalayim neschalk l'shvat. Fine. So all of those had to do with the same reason. Now, the aim would seem to be they oil had tuma, like we said before, because they might be lodged on the ground or perhaps even under the ground. A kezayis min hames, and this is an oil had tuma. Therefore, we don't want kohanim or other people that are eating kodshim or anybody that conducts himself or herself in tahara. We don't want them walking under these destroys and these zizim, and they might become tamei b'shogeg, but then they would be tamei. They'd have to have the sprinkling of the paraduma water if they got if they're in the oil ames. Umishim galoy litziki oiler regalim, as well as oiler regalim that do not know the contours of the neighborhood, and some of them might be 6.5 feet tall, so they might by accident hit one of these zizim destroyers unknowingly, unwittingly, and chas v'shalom, it could lead to a hezek. Bein oisim b'ashpasis mishum shkotzim. Shkotzim over here, we're talking about the shmoinish rotzim. That shmoinish rotzim, if you found a dead rodent that is included within the shmoinish rotzim enumerated in the Torah, which conveys tumah, where are you going to go and what are you going to do with it? You're going to throw it into a garbage dump. So if you have garbage dumps in Yerushalayim, and people are going to pass by, and they're going to throw their garbage on it, they accidentally, they might rub against one of these dead shrots, and they're going to become tamei. We don't want tamei in Yerushalayim. Don't make furnaces where they go and manufacture kalim. Mishum kutra, because that's going to make a lot of black smoke, and that's going to, says Rashi, it's going to be mashchir es hachoyma. It's going to cause the walls, and particularly the wall of Yerushalayim, to become blackened. Rashi says, uganayu. Yerushalayim should be a pretty city, not a black, darkened city because of the smoke. The ein oisin ba ginois apardes mishum sircha, because of the bad odor. Now, what bad odor is there? It says Rashi in the halfway down the Amud, asovim roim hagdelim sham, because anytime you have some sort of garden or orchard, you're also going to have weeds, and when you have weeds, people are going to cut them. Vizorkin bachlitz, you're going to throw it up. You're not going to let them grow, you're going to uproot them, and of course when they're going to lie there, they have a bad odor. Besides that, if you want to have a nice garden, you have gardeners who are going to bring fertilizer, and it's a shmekin, it's going to be a non-reach nicholach. So therefore, don't make ginus and padesim in your shalayim. Same thing because of Karchim. What's the Indian of the Tana Goylem? So Rashi over here, because Rashi doesn't explain, Rashi doesn't explain. Mishim Karchim, says Rashi, Shatana Goylem, Menakrin Ba'ashpa, the roosters and the chickens.
We had that exactly,
where they would take their beaks and they would go and peck into the garbage, or garbage dump, and unwittingly and unknowingly, in their beaks and in their mouths, they might have some of that shrotzim stuff. If happens to touch a kachim, it can be tamis. What you're referring to is that a couple of days ago, back on Ayin Tes Amud Beis, we had in the Mishnah, Ein Megadim Behem Medaka Beretz Yisrael, and of course, that's what led into the Sarat Takonis, Sarat Tanoim of Yeshua Benud, and also says, Ein Megadim Tarna Goylem Yerushalayim at Nea Kachim. So it's the same thing, we're just quoting from the Mishnah. Don't be Megadim the Targum Yishlayim, because the Kodshim, they bring in their beaks and in their mouths pieces of sheret. Ve'im alinim ba'asamas, what's the reason? Says Gemara, that we're not giving a reason. Gemara, dos is it, that it's for Kabbalah, that's the din, even though the Gemara doesn't give a reason. Rashi says, Mesoyus hi b'yadena ve'im tam l'davar, no reason is given in the Gemara. However, the Mesoyus Hashah says, look up the Zohar HaKodesh, and it says in other Svarim, the reason is, since we're trying to be Mamayit in Tumah, like we said about the Ashpen, about the Tana Goylem, about the Xistrais, we want all Mesim to be buried as soon as possible, so you shouldn't have Tumas mess lying around in a building and wherever. Anytime you have it, you don't leave a mess out in the wilderness. It's always going to be in the morgue, it's going to be in a building, in the hospital, in the place where the person resided, where he passed away. So anybody going into that house with Chas V'Shalom is going to become Tumas mess. So you try to bury them as quickly as possible so that you're not faced with a grave situation. Okay. Since we spoke about all of those things, in our Mishnah, it also brought an Ayin Tesamid Beis, Ein Megad Nechazeinim B'chal Mokai. We don't allow for people to go and raise Chazeinim, Dover Acher, anywhere. This is not in Yerushalayim or in Israel, throughout the world. What's up there, Ravi? Shali, sorry? Exactly. We dig out the grave, so we shouldn't have a grave situation. Very good. Shkoyach. Continuing on in argument. What's the reason why? has nothing to do with the fact that you're not allowed to eat chazer, or that chazer is something that we say feh, feh. That's not the reason. It has to do with a masa shahaya, and the Gemara is going to tell us a maisa noira, a very, very terrible event which occurred. As you all know, the heroes of Hanukkah are the Beis Chashmonai. Later generations of the Chashmonaim, unfortunately there was some sibling rivalry. And we have two brothers, one was named Horkinus and the other was named Aristobulus. And these two got not only to fighting verbally, but there was a real all-out war, as we'll see now in the Brisa. It's Tanurban. Kishetzor Beis Chashmonai Zeh Al Zeh. When people from the Beis Chashmonai fought with one another, the word Tzoru literally means made a siege around Yerushalayim, as we'll see momentarily. Who were these Tzoru Beis Chashmonai? Hayo Horkinus b'mefnim v'Aristobulus mi'bachutz. Horkinus and his people were inside Yerushalayim. Aristobulus and his people were outside Yerushalayim. And it was a matzar, tzoru, there was a siege around, and therefore people in Yerushalayim could not go outside of Yerushalayim for any purpose. So, what happened? As you know, we said already in the Mishnah, Ein Megadlin Behema Daka, in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly not in Yerushalayim. That being the case, how are we going to get every single day to Shepselach to bring for the Karban Tomid, Tomid Shoshach and Tomid Shel Ben Arboim? So everybody knew the importance of bringing the Kabbanis on a daily basis. So even though they fought one with the other, Horkinus and Aristobulus, but in terms of matters of religion, they saw eye to eye. And therefore, what happened was, B'chol Yoyim, Hoy Mishalshlim, Mishalishim, Lehem Bekupa Dinrim, V'yamalim Lehem Temidim. They had such a pulley system. Very good. I remember when there's some people that have their sukkahs on a porch or on a terrace, and the kitchen might be a flight or two floors down, so they also use such a pulley system with a form of elevator, if you will, where you
dumb waiter,
and you send up and down a basket or whatever, and you put in the basket the food or the used plates from the sukkah, and you go up and down like that, things like that.
And the Midrash, they had a
muchani, yeah, exactly, yeah, for the kiyar every single night. Very good. So here too, so they had such a pulley system where they would send up every single day a basket or a container or a box, whatever it was, a mishalim kupa, and inside the kupa dinrim were money, and they would send it from inside Yerushalayim. In other words, the gizbar from the Beis Hamikdash would supply the funds from the lishkas hagozes. They sent those monies over the wall, and in return, the people that were outside, the Aristobulus people, would go and supply the two seyim, the two shepselach, to be able to brought for the common temple shashach and main abay. Ve'imal lehem temidim. Hayishem zaken echad, there was one, we'll call him bad guy, shohayim makir b'chachmas yivanas, who knew Greek chachma. Now Greek chachma is not the same thing as the Greek language, as we'll see more about this tomorrow. Greek chachma was really some very, very...
Philosophy.
It was, the Mepharshim say it was mainly sign language and motion language, that they would go and do all different types of chachmas to go and express themselves, but they didn't actually speak it. Let me bring it over here.
Yeah, the gesture, maybe. Like
gestures, oh, very good. Gestures. Quite nice. Trying to see, he doesn't bring the Rashi. Rashi elsewhere says that they would have these motions and gestures, and that's how they were able to go and speak to one another with this type of sign language, which 99% of the people did not know. The only ones that knew it, if you look at the Rashi tomorrow on Pei Gimel and Aleph, the third line of Rashi, fourth line, Chachmas Yivanas Bnei Paltin, the people that lived in the palace, Akroivim Malchus, who were close to the royalty, the Saprimah. So this was only the royal family and household people that spoke this very unique language. It wasn't even a language, it was really more motions and signs and gestures. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll learn more about that tomorrow. So the Zokin Echshei Makim B'chachim Sivan, this is Omel Hemi, said to them, Kol Zman She'oiskim Avoida, as long as the Yidin inside Yerushalayim are going to be Oisikin Avoida, Avoida means bringing up the Kabbanis every single day. If you have the Moisef Rashi I don't know if you have it.
Yeah.
We have the voice of Rashi on the right hand margin.
Rashi.
Yeah. It's not the same, but there's a lot of overlap. Here in the middle of the voice of Rashi on the right hand side, Shoyamakir Bachmas Yavanis, Remizois. Remizois means just different types of gestures.
Yeah.
So Remizois means they didn't speak words as much as Rebbe's with their hands. Yeah. Or maybe their mouths, or maybe their noses, or whatever, some sort of remes. So getting back to our Gemara, so I don't know if you can just see this, in the Moitz of Rashi, remises. The Knechot, you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Omelahem, oh, you don't have it here.
No.
But you have it over here. Hashem Zechenechot, and B'Shem Yimakir, B'Chachem Sivanis, remises. Remises means again, it's hand gestures.
Gesticulations.
Yeah, gesticulations, exactly. Anyway, so what did he do? Shemach b'chos b'yvanis, presumably why the Gemara stresses that is because had he said it in Hebrew or Aramaic, whatever the language was at the time, people might have stoned him or, you know, thrown him out. But because he did these hand gestures, very few people understood. And Omer Lehem, he said, as long as the Yidden in Yerushalayim are going to bring the Kabbalists, Einim Sam Biyadchem, we're never going to win. Forget about it. And therefore, Lamacha, the next day, Shoshul Dinrim, the Kupa, like usual, the Hel Lehem, on the other side, instead of sending up a set, they sent up a Chazir. Kimichi Giyah Lachatzi Achoyma, as the pulley is coming up to the other side of the wall, halfway up the wall, not Siparnav, the Chazir went and dug its claws into the wall of Chaimah. Then Izdaza Eretz Yisrael Arba Meis Parsa, Arba Meis Parsa. The whole Eretz Yisrael shook like an earthquake from this terrible, terrible event. But Yisrael Amru, as a result, from that time on, people said, they made a special takana, that Oru Ish Yigadal Chazayim, whoever is Megadal Chazayim should be cursed. Oru Odom Shilaminis Benoi Chaim Mechivanis. As well as whoever teaches his son this type of Chacham Sivanis, the hand gesture language, also he should be cursed. And about that hour, in other words, during that period of siege that you couldn't get in and out, they said, So Rashi explains that, why don't we look at the Rashi, seven lines on the bottom, the carbon oimer that you bring on Pesach, sheyarogalovi min hakarav liyushalayim, oyseshah ba miganois tzrifin, rochik min yushalayim. Normally, they were able to easily get hold of barley close to Yushalayim. Those years when you had the Aristobulus and the Horkins, that it weren't, everything was destroyed around Yushalayim. Fishechrivu b'nei hamotar es tvois asada, to be able to go and cause tzoris for the Yidden inside Yushalayim, they destroyed all of the crops and all of the tvois, all the grain that was in the tvois next to Yushalayim. So they had to go and send to far, far away to be able to go and bring the barley for the Oymer and the wheat for the Shtei Lechem from far, far off distance because of this war between the Chashmonaim siblings.
I'm not sure they even put the it was the ramparts, whatever they would make this I guess it was some type of construction that they made around the city to prevent any inflow or outflow.
Question is, how did they get to the Oymer in those two places, or to the grain, if in fact there was such a matzer? I guess they figured out a way. Anyway, have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai, to be continued near Hashem tomorrow. Have a great day.